930 KLUP. San Antonio's Movers and Shakers is brought to you by Systemic and Heart of Texas Realty. The views and opinions of the guests and hosts are their own and not a reflection of Salem Communications. It's time for San Antonio's Movers and Shakers. Stay tuned as we celebrate the education, business, civic, and public leaders who keep the entrepreneurial spirit alive in San Antonio. Our program is produced by John Thurman of Heart of Texas Realty, San Antonio's most listened to realtor. Now, let's meet this week's Mover and Shaker.
And good morning, and yes, you are tuned to the San Antonio Movers and Shakers program here on News Talk 930 KRUP. John Thurman of Heart of Texas Realty, and I got a whole bunch of co-hosts. We're going to gang up on this guy this morning. He's just not getting enough radio time, so we're just going to make sure that we figure out what makes this guy tick. But welcome back here, Dr. James Adkins with the Texas Sinus Center. Tell us about what that organization does.
Well, right now we're doing quite a bit with the end-of-year deductibles that have been met. Everybody and their dogs.
So the end-of-the-year deductibles and the cedar fever season comes together.
Cedar's not hurting us too bad yet. Usually that's a bad combination when end-of-year deductibles and cedar meet. But right now we've talked about it on the show before. There's a big push for balloon sinuplasty, people trying to get their sinuses fixed with a little balloon dilation. And every month people seem to wake up a little more about what a great technology it is. And recently the end-of-year deductibles being met and the little light bulb about maybe I need a sinuplasty has culminated in quite a bit of work for us.
Well, it doesn't hurt to have one of the best in San Antonio here that I think your customers are probably your best advertisers, are they not?
I saw a guy Thursday. I said, what are you here for? He said, my wife told me to get over here. I said, why is that? She said, well, you did a sinuplasty on her in October. Said as best she's felt in her entire life and started me complaining. So, that's a common thing that we see.
All right. So if common symptoms that you see, it could cause people to want to come see you?
Usually a headache, facial pressure, congestion, taking 7 or 8 antibiotics a year. I mean, there's nothing wrong with going to an urgent care center once or twice a year for a cold or an infection, but if you've been there 6-7 times a year and you get a steroid pack and an antibiotic and then you're looking at it happening again in 2 months, that's our bread and butter. That's what we take care of.
Okay. Well, again, Texas Sinus Center, TexasSinusCenter.com, right?
That's us.
All right. And then, of course, the down button on my elevator shoes continue to be punched by this guy that Elevate Systems, Mr. Scott Gray. And, of course, you're the CEO, I think it is, of Systemic.
Actually, I am the chairman of Systemic. I'm the president of Elevate Systems. And my beautiful wife, Marcella, is the CEO of Elevate Systems.
So
I work for her 24 hours a day now.
I understand, yes.
Instead of just 18.
I got you. Okay. And then, of course, at some point in time, we need to talk about our guest today, Elliot Franklin. I think everybody already knows who Elliot Franklin is, but I think we know what Elliot Franklin does. But
we know what his company is.
But today, a Whataburger.
I love Whataburger.
I affectionately call that life's most perfect food.
Excellent. Absolutely.
You're Dr.
I told him this morning that my son came home for Thanksgiving break, 6 in the morning on his way back Sunday. We stop at Blanco in 1604 so he can get a Whataburger.
Right.
I'm picking him up this afternoon at 4, first stop, Whataburger.
Whataburger. Right. Okay. Well, it's a unique combination.
They need security at Whataburger?
They do.
Information security.
It's
Why
hamburgers.
Would information security? I guess we're not here to talk about Whataburger's information security. We've done that. We want to talk about Elliot Franklin. So, Elliot, what makes you tick? Where'd you come from?
Well, I'm born and raised in Texas. And,
oh, my God. We actually have one of those.
Yep, born and raised here. And both my parents were school teachers. So, was raised and, with education as an emphasis, always very important. I have two brothers and one sister, and so we're spaced out quite a bit in age, and they were interested in sports, and for whatever reason, I was never interested in sports. Maybe it was because I don't have any hand-eye coordination. But so I was always just around the house trying to think of things to do, and that's when we had the old Commodore 64 and the tape decks on those, and trying to figure out how it worked. Of course, we didn't have Google to look everything up, so we actually had to try to figure it out on our own.
Had to read a book, huh?
Yeah,
had to find that book.
Absolutely. Had to find the book and read it. And that's what makes me tick is always those puzzles. And so moving into, I didn't get a degree in security. I didn't think that's what I was going to do. I was doing more of the programming and realized that I didn't like programming. I wanted more interaction with folks. Didn't like being in front of the keyboard all the time. And so... I did some teaching in college. I did some internet safety courses back then, even in the early 90s, and back at Angelo State.
You remind me of one of my really, really early programs that I did on my first real estate show, in which I invited a local pool icon, and we sat down. We were down at the convention center in downtown. We were going to do a live remote, and I said, okay, well, tell me about this pool company. He said, well, we dig holes in the ground, we fill them with concrete, we put rock on top of it, and do some aggregate and do some landscaping, and that's what we do. And as well, you've just done a 45-minute, you've done an hour program. Okay, Elliot, we're going to have to go back to your childhood. Okay, tell us about your parents.
Both my parents were school teachers, and that's really the emphasis. My dad was a school teacher for a while. He wanted to have more of an influence on the kids. He became a principal. He went and got his principal certification, and so he was a principal, school principal. Loved science.
Where was this?
Yeah, where was this?
This was down in Galveston.
Okay. Get out of here. Yep. I was born and raised in Galveston.
That's where I was born, in Galveston as well.
So. I broke a glass table in Galveston.
two BOIs here. So.
Yep. And my mom was a math teacher, and she just loves math, and that was a blessing when it came to algebra and those difficult courses that I didn't understand, to have a personal tutor at home. So both school teachers, both always wanting to give back and volunteering, and that's really helped me get a lot of my jobs, actually, is the volunteering that I've done, even in college. I was on the Student Senate, president of the Student Senate. Very
I'm
involved.
Sorry, where'd you go to college?
At Angelo State University.
One of the finest universities in Texas.
Yes, absolutely.
You really keep wanting to jump all the way to the present time. Okay, well, let's drag
did you graduate from high school in Galveston?
No. So with the parents being school teachers, we didn't move quite as much as the military, but we did move somewhat frequently. So Lexington High School, east of Austin, Lexington, Texas, a small town.
Oh, yeah, very small.
Graduating class of 46. Mm-hmm. And so I was very involved in high school on the yearbook staff, and again, student council, very involved there. Very involved in my church, youth group. And helping out anywhere that I could to give back.
So back there in high school, you know, yearbook, stuff like that, were you using computers, dabbling in computers, end user, or how would you classify yourself?
I was into computers there in high school as well. In fact, that's how I got my first job while I was in high school, was I hacked into the grade system in high school. And
Was that an ethical hacker?
I didn't make any changes. I just wanted to know where I ranked and where my friends ranked, and before they revealed that. So yeah, I didn't make any changes. But as a result of that, the company that the school had hired to protect the computers wanted to see if they could hire me so that I wouldn't do it anymore and help them keep other people out. And so that was in high school. So I was in computers.
So you
I was
got
in,
caught?
Maybe
a little
so.
Vulnerability test.
That's
a little
right. That's
penetration
right. Well, and some people would say it wasn't hacking. When the password to the grade system is teacher, that's probably not hacking. That's probably not. Probably
or
not
password.
Hacking. Yeah. It was a little better than
doesn't
that.
Doesn't rise to that level, huh?
No, they wouldn't say that's hacking. But
you had a Commodore?
I did.
64.
Commodore 64, and then a TRS, trash 80.
Oh, trash,
yeah.
80.
Yeah, trash 80.
Yeah.
80.
Oh, my gosh.
Absolutely. But I was in Business Professionals of America there in high school, and so in 4-H, and so absolutely I would work on the computers there.
Well, I got to take you on back again. We're gonna have to take you back a little further. Did you know your grandparents? Were they around you?
Had some influence from my grandparents. Yeah, my grandpa had eighth grade education, but yet he was an entrepreneur, opened his own business, was very, very successful with his business. Wrote some books, always writing letters to the editor, always challenging the IRS on his taxes. He knew a couple of the presidents, Bill Clinton and others, from business deals. And so he was very successful. Always loved to go spend time with him. Up in LaGrange, Texas, and go fishing with him. Didn't know my other grandparents. They were both passed on before my memory started working. Grandparents definitely enjoyed spending time around. My grandma just turned 96, so we celebrated her birthday. And still enjoy going and visiting her.
So is there a possibility she's listening to the program today?
I don't know. I don't know if she might. She likes talk radio.
Well, okay, but that is, how would you say that you're, elaborate a little bit more on how your grandparents influenced you, because you've already indicated that they knew some really important people, but I like what I also heard in that they used what they had. They didn't have fantastic education, but they didn't let that hold them back from being successful. Did that in any way shape you?
Absolutely. They had everything they needed right out on their ranch, right? I mean, they grew all their own, you know, their own food, their animals, everything. But, yeah, my grandpa wouldn't let his education stop him. He would learn what he needed to. He built his business. He surrounded himself with smart people. He was very, you know, shrewd business person. He would always find folks that could help him if he couldn't solve the problems. But he would never give up. And he would never express any pain. Even when he would, you know, fall and break an arm or something, he would just continue working. He just didn't have time. He didn't have time for that. Yeah, and he wouldn't give up. No. And so that instilled a lot in us. Of when you go out to see him, and my mom still continues to tell us stories about, you know, working on the ranch and the horses and the cows, and he didn't care what you had going on. You had your priorities, and you took care of those first, and that was before you took care of anything else.
Very interesting.
And with regards to your brothers and sisters, you said there was a gap there. Were they any of them around where you've been raised? Or
I'm the youngest. Yeah, but let's see. I have two brothers and one sister, and they were there was probably about a 10-year gap between us. And so they were all in sports. They were all very successful in sports. My sister went on a college scholarship in sports, and they raised animals. For whatever reason, that just never interested me. I don't like being outside, and so now with six kids, I have to spend some time outside.
Absolutely.
But with them, but for whatever reason, I just wanted to stay inside. And so, but hey, now the computers pays the bills, so it was a blessing that I did that.
Did I hear you say you have six kids?
I do, three boys and three girls. Yep.
Wow.
Did you not see me genuflecting?
Wow. He's going to need money for college, or either that, or he's going to have to make sure that those kids figure out a way to take care of their own college through scholarships. I can see why you're in IT now.
Right. He's single-handedly going to help Rackspace get some more programmers.
Right, I hear you. Okay, well, now that was one set of grandparents. Did you know the others?
Just briefly, I knew the other grandma for a little while. But she passed on quite some time ago.
Okay, well, coming on back to you, this is not an unusual story where there's different siblings in the family. One is heading in a sports category, and the other one is science and engineering and those kinds of things. Was there any early teachers that you can recall that began to recognize your spark, or did you kind of spark yourself and take off?
There were some teachers that I can vividly remember in high school. One of them, interestingly enough, was our political teacher, you know, teaching, and he was into ham radio. And so I got my ham radio license when I was in high school. And, of course, we didn't really have cell phones in, and so we could use that ham radio as a cell phone. And that kind of piqued my interest into, you know, getting what is this technology? What can this do? Connecting that into the computer and using the ham radio to connect into bulletin boards and how does this work, and how are we all interconnected?
You were interconnected on a worldwide level at a very young age then as a result of that.
Right. Yeah, we could talk. And my brother got his license, and we could talk, you know, across the state, and regardless, and that was...
You didn't have to put up with long-distance telephone rates when we were both kids. That was something you had to be concerned about.
That's right. No, never had to worry about that in talking to him. But then the company that I ended up working for in high school gave me a brick phone, or a bag phone, so I had my first bag phone that was paid for.
In high school?
In high school, because I was doing the tech support for this high school network.
Wow.
So
you carried this around with you?
It was in the truck that they gave me. So I had a company,
truck.
I got a company truck and a bag phone in high school, and that was quite unique.
Were you eating Whataburgers at the time?
We didn't have a Whataburger in Lexington. No, I bet.
The football players didn't have a bag phone in a
no,
a company.
No, they didn't.
Truck.
And I was I was in the band as well. I love going to football games, so I was in the marching band, and I loved that as well.
What did you play?
Played the trombone.
I'm a trombone player. As was Suzanne Vautrinot.
Well, I was a tuba player, so there you go.
Well, there you go.
Well, Doc,
we got
you
the brass section,
the band?
Doc.
I was a radio player.
You're the radio player. You played the radio. Okay.
He plays the sinuplasty.
That's right.
Well, we got a break coming up. Why don't you tell us a little bit, Mr. Gray, about the sponsors of this program?
Well, let me tell you. We have one sitting here.
Yes, we certainly do.
And we just want to thank you, Jim, for being a sponsor
of
this program. We're hoping that you're getting some value out of it. We certainly love having you sit here with us and be a guest host. It's great. We learned a little bit about balloon sinuplasty. It's not something I'm real familiar with yet. Maybe I need to come see you.
We'd be glad to have you.
And I'll bring my son over as well.
He'll put parts of your body up on the screen and say, well, John, or, you know, Scott, this is what's going on inside your head. It really isn't.
It's in a closed room,
that.
Right? Yeah. There's no windows or anything.
No, but it's big screen TVs.
Oh, my Lord.
I'm sure Elliot could get his streaming for us.
That's right.
We also have the Don Strange Company, Brian Strange. We'd like to thank them for their sponsorship. I think they're real busy this time of year.
Yes, they are, and I just have to tell you, I just can't thank the Don Strange Company or the Brian Strange enough. I sat down with him, I don't know, 4 or 5 months ago. And said there's, you know, several hundred thousand people come to San Antonio a year to celebrate military celebrations, and we need to do something down on the Riverwalk with them. And he says, well, let's do that. And he said, how much money you got? And I said, none. And he said, well, that's enough. So let's go ahead and do this. And so last night I think we did about our 14th Friday night celebrating the military, thanks to the Brian Strange and the Don Strange Company. And in the meantime, I think over the last few days, he also has done like 7 or 8 or 9 parties per day while he's also doing this military thing. So, yes, this is his season, but the fact is it doesn't get much better for catering and for you know, you say, gee, I want to buy a party. He'll sell you a party.
Wow.
He'll put it together for you, and it'll be a phenomenal event. So now, look up DonStrangeCompany.com. And I really thank Brian of all he's done. And also last year he was he arranged for about a $50,000 donation for a way for the Rotary Club of San Antonio to earn the money through his organization. He donates the ranch for our Diploma Plus program to make sure that kids stay in school. And really,
let's not forget our San Antonio Business Journal.
San Antonio Business Journal, your essential business tool.
Heart of the San Antonio business community with the San Antonio Business Journal. Whether you're looking to learn about, network with, or reach the decision makers that drive San Antonio, the San Antonio Business Journal is your essential business tool. The San Antonio Business Journal has the inside scoop on all that's happening in the San Antonio marketplace. Join the network today of over 57,000 readers who use the Business Journal for local news, in-depth industry coverage, insights, and information. Call 341-3202 to start your 5-week free trial subscription. And when you advertise with the Business Journal, you gain instant presence and added credibility with the business community. 65% of the Business Journal subscribers hold top management positions. Get the attention of these important people and get results. Keep your finger on the pulse of the San Antonio business community and make the San Antonio Business Journal your medium for success today. Call 341-3202. That's 341-3202.
And good morning and welcome back here to the San Antonio Movers and Shakers program here on News Talk 930 KLUP. And you can find us on samoversandshakers.com. And by the way, this program will be, this next week will be podcast on our website and also on KLUP.com. And you can listen live anywhere in the world where the internet plays at KLUP.com and also SA Movers and Shakers. And we are interviewing today Mr. Elliot Franklin. And Elliot, let's talk today. What is your title today?
Information Security Manager.
For this company called Whataburger.
Whataburger Restaurants.
Okay, and again, I said earlier, that's life's most perfect food. I tell you what, you're out there hungry, and you just stop in there for a quick burger, and it's delicious. Wow. Okay, but you also do something else in our community. You're the area president of something. ISSA, huh?
Alamo ISSA, Information Systems Security Association. Yeah, we are a... just a professional organization of security professionals that meet for education and networking opportunities. And we also love to give back through volunteering with Cyber Patriot. We have mentors for that in Cyber Collegiate Defense Competition, as well as going out and doing lunch and learns for schools. We've got some lined up with, I think it's Southwest ISD, some other schools where we go out and do lunch and learns for both parents as well as the students on, you know, cyberbullying, keeping your family safe on the internet, all the new technology, so that parents feel like they're empowered. They may not know what their kids are coming home and doing, and we try to help educate the parents as well.
Well, a few weeks ago, we were all sitting here at the table talking about even on LinkedIn and various programs like that. And I leave, and I have got a, and he's smiling because I got a 3-star general that has invited me to link with her on LinkedIn, but her name is misspelled.
Yeah, this so some interesting research when I left the show. You know, last year Adobe was the number one way that people were breached, and this year it is LinkedIn. LinkedIn, not LinkedIn themselves, of course, but criminals posing as LinkedIn invite requests is the number one way that employees and individuals have been phished and enabled, clicking on the link, getting their computers compromised, or giving out their password, you know, username and password to their sites.
Okay, so what's happening there is that they're not going to do a tech show here, but it is very interesting because of the number of times that I'm sitting here thinking, gosh, if it's happening to me, it must be happening to just about everybody else out there.
Yep.
And I think that's called phishing. And so
it is.
Just a quick reminder to folks, those links can be dangerous, right?
They can. Just delete the email, and if you have a LinkedIn account, logged into LinkedIn, and you'll have the request sitting there if it's a legitimate request.
Yeah, but this was a legitimate, I mean, this came in through LinkedIn, but it was somebody who was impossible.
It was a fake account. Yeah,
fake account. So
John, don't forget, stop, think, connect.
Oh,
remember our Cyber Month last month?
I'm ready. I'm
you of all people.
Ready, shoot, aim.
No. Stop, think, connect.
Okay.
Would you agree with that?
That's right, yeah.
All right, well, let's get this guy back. Okay, you were in the band, and you were working for the high school as its IT person while you were going to school there.
That's
right.
Is
that what I hear?
Yep, we didn't have full-time IT. We didn't have any IT folks at the time at the school. You know, it was all contracted out. It was so new that there wasn't enough work for a full-time person there.
But they liked you so much they even gave you a phone and a vehicle.
They did. A bag phone and a company truck to drive.
I think most of our kids out there today have no idea what a bag phone is, right? It's a very, very big iPhone or Samsung. Huge.
Very, very big phone. It was in a little smaller than a laptop bag that would sit in your vehicle, and you plug into the cigarette lighter, and you had a cell phone, and it worked most of the time.
It was a dumb phone.
It was.
How was the coverage in Lexington? I can't imagine it was.
It was okay. It was mostly for the trip back and forth to Austin, though. Okay.
But you had a tower in the city.
We did. We had a tower close by.
On Highway 21.
That's right. It was close by. Yep.
Wow. Okay. Well. All right. You know. So, where did you go on to college from there?
When I graduated, went to Angelo State up in San Angelo. And,
I'm sorry, what was the name of that? Angelo State University, the Fighting Rams?
That's right. That's right.
Home did you live in the men's high-rise?
What, did you want to make sure you stayed in a small town or what?
Yes, that's exactly right. Yeah, I was terrified of large cities. I wanted a small school, 6,000 people. It was very similar to the hometown I lived in. At that time, San Angelo wasn't even over the 100,000 mark, and right. So it was still a small city as well. I started with a computer science degree. My first year, quickly realized that I wasn't a good programmer, or maybe programming wasn't for me. I'm not sure which. But so I just changed to business management, and then I got very involved in the student government and mentoring there as well. I taught some classes on the weekends for the continuing education department, teaching folks on how to use computers, how to use the internet. We didn't even have internet there or email until my sophomore year. There was some. Just some political decisions, I guess, among the president at the time of the university. And he didn't want the students to have email accounts. So it wasn't until my second year that we even got email, or we were really exposed to the internet there.
People didn't know what it was.
And they wanted it just for the professors, I think, at that time. And they were kind of concerned or scared maybe what it would do if they allowed the students to have access. So started getting more involved in that.
So you were kind of forming that path, that track you were going to be following.
Right.
Yep. But you're also setting the stage for teaching and giving back and, you know,
absolutely.
Things that you're still doing.
I love doing that. I mentored some students there that had kind of troubled backgrounds and but then also through,
high school students?
They were high school students that had reached out through either my employer. I worked for a cell phone company there, a mom and pop cell phone company in San Angelo. And that then opened up their own internet provider as well. So it was the farmers and ranchers out in West Texas.
Yep.
Didn't have cell coverage at the time. There was no Sprint or Verizon out there.
Right.
So they opened their own cell phone. He put up, you know, his own towers. And then after a few years, they wanted internet. And, of course, they didn't have internet out there. AOL and others weren't out there. So he opened up his own internet provider. And so I got to work for him as well, doing internet tech support while I was going to school.
My roommate at Angelo State's father bought the first cell towers out in the Abilene area. So it was just starting back then.
Yep. Absolutely. So that was great exposure, great learning. Got to teach myself a lot about Unix and the different, you know, to support. You know, thinking about NSA, I mean, again, you're in there with those cell phone switches, and folks can come in and just plug in and listen to your calls. It's very interesting as far as when, you know, if you get search warrants and things for that kind of stuff, when you're working in the cell switch room. And I'm sure things have changed now, but that was kind of the old technology, the old cell phone technology.
Well, that's right. That's before we were also cognizant of, well, the threats weren't there back then.
Right. I mean, to my knowledge, I'm sure we had folks get hacked, but none that ever complained.
John, stop, think, connect.
Ready, shoot, aim, but go ahead. Okay, if you've just tuned into the Movers and Shakers program here on News Talk 930, we are interviewing Mr. Elliot Garza and his... Franklin. Elliot Garza has a magazine here, and I'm thinking about him at the same time. But obviously with one of San Antonio's really leading movers and shakers. And so, okay, you got San Angelo University?
Angelo State.
Okay, all right. Well, but anything else happened at the college level of any excitement?
Well, I went overseas and studied overseas for a semester through one of their exchange programs, and so I got to go over and spend some time at University of Edinburgh in Scotland, and loved
Very
it
nice.
Over there. Had a phenomenal
wow.
time. Took two courses over
so
there.
So you got over your small town. Problem.
I did. That was thanks to my parents. You know, I look back at that and can't believe it, but I was very resistant. I did not want to go, and they said, you know, you need to get some exposure. You need to get out of your comfort zone, and I had never flown overseas. I wasn't real fond of flying, which now I love, and if it's more than a three-hour drive now, I prefer to fly. But, I went overseas and studied, and that was some real exposure going over and studying over there, just the different cultures.
Is that your senior year?
It was between my junior and senior year in college, yep.
Were absolutely. They computer courses you took or business courses?
No, it was European government. And
how interesting.
Yeah, it was phenomenal. It was an experience.
What made you make those transitions? Just to broaden your horizons?
Again, it was my parents pushing me. Yeah, they wanted me to do it. I really didn't have any desire. I like to sit in my house and just, you know, stay in my little area and just not really get out a lot. You know, it's kind of a stereotypical computer introvert.
You throw pizza under the door.
That's right. So it was good. I was very thankful that they pushed me and very fortunate that we could afford to go over there and spend a semester over there. There was about 25 of us. Met some of my best friends there. You know, going to Angelo State, it's already very small, but yet there were some people that obviously I didn't know, and I met some folks that I still to this day keep in contact with. I got involved in politics at that point as well. Met some guys on that trip that were part of the Young Republicans there at the university, and so started getting involved in politics, and that led to when I moved here to San Antonio, then I was elected to serve on served on the city council out in Bulverde for a year when I first moved here, and then served 5 years on the planning and zoning as chair of the planning and zoning board where I live now in Cibolo. So that led to really wanting to get involved.
Well,
in
you
politics.
Really enmeshed yourself real good in politics if you got in city council in Bulverde, because that little small town out there is something else as far as politics is concerned.
I'm going to need to get some pointers.
You're really smiling, and I know a little bit about those politics out there.
I was just appointed the zoning commission of Castle Hills. I'm not sure I know what I'm getting into.
Well, I tell you, you think being on tech support call 24/7 is bad. And when you're on city council, yeah, we did. I couldn't believe it getting calls.
You're on call 24/7.
At all hours of the night. And they're never happy calls, ever. And just like tech support, they're never somebody that's happy just telling you you did a good job. It was very challenging.
But I have to say, you're an atypical geek, so to speak, because you're actually going out. You know, you're not just staying in your little corner.
Right.
Right. You're getting involved in politics and public things and community affairs and all that stuff, and it's just so important. When you left San Angelo, what happened? What did you do?
You know, really, unfortunately.
You probably didn't want to leave because that's a great college.
It's a beautiful city, but unfortunately, at least at the time, there weren't any IT jobs really there for me, and so I had no choice but to leave. And thankfully,
they only had telecom, right?
Through the Alumni Association, one of our very successful Angelo State alums was a vice president over at USAA, and he came out and did some recruiting, and he picked me up right away. And
wow.
So I came to work for USAA immediately.
Right from Angelo State.
Right from Angelo State. So I was a Lotus Notes administrator there for 3 years at USAA, and that's kind of what got me to San Antonio. And it was a huge culture shock.
Is Lotus still alive?
They are. Some big companies still run them.
The ones that are invested in them.
It's not hacked nearly as much as Microsoft because it's not as popular.
Right.
So certainly.
So you had to start. You didn't know Lotus Notes, did you?
No, but he could tell just from the interview and the conversation that I could learn anything really fast.
But they trained you.
Absolutely. So they sent me to Lotus Notes training, and so we had a team there that did Lotus Notes.
You were a developer?
Lotus Notes server administrator.
Wow.
So, yeah, it was more on the administration side.
Were there security issues there, too? And is that
there
what
were.
Got you started?
Absolutely. absolutely. So certainly you had to reissue keys. And
who was the IT administrator at USAA at the time?
Well, there the person that I interfaced with was Dan Harrington, but he wasn't the top.
Did you ever know a fellow by the name of Reggie Williams?
Sure, I knew of Reggie. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Okay. I think I was in Dan's class. If he was yep. Angelo State, yep. 83 through 85 area
yep.
time frame.
He's the one that came out and did the recruiting. So,
yeah.
You know, I certainly was, at the time, they were still on a 4-day work week in IT there. And so I would always spend my Fridays driving around San Antonio because it was so huge. And I just would try to find out where I was and get lost and see what was around me. And so I really enjoyed that.
Just have to take off on a little bit of a tangent as far as Mr. Williams was concerned. He was the IT vice president while you were there, right?
I believe so.
All right. Well, I got to know him, and one of his favorite lines was that he says, I gladly take responsibility for the IT system when it's having difficulties, provided you also accept that I take responsibility for when it's working well.
That's right.
Yep. What year was this that you started at USAA? So you were there. Were you part of the century change of century?
I was there during Y2K. Yep,
yeah.
Right before they had a lot of layoffs, but that was because
right.
of that. They'd hired a lot of folks just for Y2K.
Huge.
And then didn't need them. So, yeah, absolutely.
So Y2K turned out to be not as big a deal as I thought it was.
It was pretty much a non-event, but some of that could have been because of all the preparation, certainly. But, yeah, right. it was a non-event for us.
Well, there was a lot of accountability issues during Y2K to make sure that your IT managers and the folks in those areas were prepared in the event.
That's right.
Because no one knew, right?
It's just good disaster recovery planning and business continuity.
Business continuity planning.
Absolutely. There's nothing wrong with that.
But the experience of working for a company like USAA, that their entire system functions around IT. So you got to have the opportunity there to see the big picture. I personally went to work for LTV Aerospace as an accountant, and there was no way you could see the big picture from my level. But I take it you've got the opportunity to see the big picture.
Their IT shop there is huge. I mean, that's the core of their business, all their systems and their innovation and everything. I mean, with banking and financial services, absolutely has to be foundational in the IT, and it's got to be 24/7 uptime. And you've got, and of course, if you talk about threats and folks wanting to hack you, they're a huge target. Obviously, look at all the financial, you know, all the information that they have and all the money that they protect. So they've got some of the most innovative systems, and if they can't find something they like to buy, they just build it. I mean, they have the ability.
How cool is that
to
get out of school, go straight to USAA, a very innovative leader in technology, and you got to be a part of that.
Absolutely.
So there is no choice but to have the best of the best on staff.
That's right. When their recruiting process is very rigorous, absolutely. It's not easy to get in there, but they've got some just phenomenal folks there. And I still go there once a month for our ISSA board meetings, and so most of our board is members are USAA employees. So still get to interface with some of those guys and keep on top.
And
of
so them. When did you join ISSA? When were you first exposed to it?
So we'd have to fast forward to Texas State when I took a job as Texas State or Southwest Texas first information security person there.
From USAA?
No, I did. So I left USAA and did the university. I kind of missed being in the university world. I was so involved in the university world that I wanted to go back to university environment. So I spent a couple of years working at different universities here in town, Our Lady of the Lake and Trinity. And then I went to Texas State.
As a teacher?
No, it was always on the IT side.
In the IT area.
I was always IT manager or on the IT side. And when I went to Texas State as their first security person, that's when I joined. I didn't know what ISSA was until then because I never focused specifically on security.
Did they have a San Marcos branch or an Austin branch?
Austin. I joined the Austin chapter of ISSA, and they met at the Cisco headquarters there, or the Cisco offices in Austin. And that was my first involvement. And so that was in 2004 is when I joined ISSA.
Are y'all meeting monthly, or how often are y'all meeting?
We meet quarterly here. We used to meet monthly, and we had some challenges with membership. Folks is just
couldn't make it.
Couldn't carve that out on their calendar, but they're happy to carve out half a day if we meet once a quarter, and they get three CPE credits for that as well.
So you have a half-a-day meeting once a quarter?
That's
a lot. Do you bring speakers in, or do y'all provide your own content?
We typically do bring speakers in, and we'll fly them in from different – we try to get at least one big-name speaker at each meeting that we usually have to pay for. We brought in this last year. We brought in Brian Krebs, who's a huge security blogger, we continue to just bring in, try to bring in well-known security folks that speak at some of the big Black Hat and other conferences that they have.
So at Texas State, going back there, you're there for how long?
I was there for 3 years, and so I kind of formed and built their information security program from the ground up, and hired a student to help me at the time. And then now they've got three full-time folks working there as well. Of course, you can imagine I got some great foundation there as well, working at a university with, I mean, the students, it's a minefield with what they're doing and all the illegal stuff that they're doing and downloading and such. So that was a great, you know, getting to work with the Texas Rangers, Secret Service, and those folks printing fake IDs. And unfortunately, some of the stuff you do see on the CSI and those other shows, I mean, certainly we had murders and things and where we could use the computers to get some of the evidence off of. And, you know, that was a very interesting, some things that I hope I never have to do again.
Well, but it is a very interesting thing in that you were coming into these systems as they were being developed. I understand
right.
that I've met some of the people that worked with the information systems for the United States Air Force, and they said that in the very, very early days they didn't know that they had a problem, and didn't even have any reason to know that there would be a problem.
Right. I mean, we were there to make sure the system stayed up for registration and for classes, right? I mean, that's what we were primarily there for, is just to make sure that they didn't go down, more of the business continuity planning. But then you have the viruses and things come in. Folks are downloading, you know, the MP3s or whatever they're downloading and start getting viruses. And we start getting letters from the recording industry and other places saying, hey, you need to stop this. You're doing illegal activity. Or, you know, folks that are, you know, hacking in and trying to steal Social Security numbers. Now we've got a problem. Now we don't know how do we address it. You know, in the university world, it's extremely difficult because at the time we didn't even have a firewall there at the university because of academic freedom, right? The professors don't want to be blocked from anything. They want to be able to do all their research and not have that feeling of big brother. And so that was a challenge of how do we balance that? How do we tell the professors we're protecting their research by putting in these controls?
So if suddenly that research just absolutely disappeared, which probably didn't happen. Most people just stole the intellectual property.
Yeah, you would never know. Absolutely.
And, wow, what an incredible deal. Well, we are interviewing Elliot Franklin here. He is the Information Security Director at the Whataburger Corporation and also the local chapter president of Information Security Association. Is that what it is?
ISSA.
And we're going to continue to interview him after this San Antonio Business Journal break here on the News Talk 930 KLUP.
Get to the heart of the San Antonio business community with the San Antonio Business Journal. Whether you're looking to learn about, network with, or reach the decision makers that drive San Antonio, the San Antonio Business Journal is your essential business tool. The San Antonio Business Journal has the inside scoop on all that's happening in the San Antonio marketplace. Join the network today of over 57,000 readers who use the Business Journal for local news, in-depth industry coverage, insights, and information. Call 341-3202 to start your 5-week free trial subscription. And when you advertise with the Business Journal, you gain instant presence and added credibility with the business community. 65% of the Business Journal subscribers hold top management positions. Get the attention of these important people and get results. Keep your finger on the pulse of the San Antonio business community and make the San Antonio Business Journal your medium for success today. Call 341-3202. That's 341-3202.
Good morning. This is Dr. Jim Atkins of the San Antonio Movers and Shakers Show. I'm one of the co-hosts today, and we're with Elliot Franklin, who's taken us up to his time at Texas State University and some of the challenges that he was presented with there. So you're there about 3 years, is that correct?
I was there 3 years, yep. Built their program and then had an opportunity to move over to Methodist Healthcare, and so owned by HCA, Hospital Corporation of America. And so I was at Methodist. I built their information security program as well, their first security.
Do you know person. Dan Kilgore?
I absolutely know Dan. You bet.
What a small world.
Is there anybody he doesn't know? Come on now.
Holy
information
cow.
Security.
Yep, definitely. I worked very closely with Dan. So, you know, with that was before high tech, but HIPAA was starting to get a little more teeth at the time. And so HCA is a huge company that owns 180-plus hospitals across the world, and they're divided into divisions. And so for the San Antonio division, they have 15 divisions. San Antonio division had 8 hospitals at the time. And so very important to build the information security program to protect patient data, obviously, and to keep those systems up, which, you know, you're very, very familiar with. And it's a challenge, especially when doctors are working at multiple different hospitals with usernames and passwords. And you know, we don't want to prevent them from doing their job. Certainly, patient care should be first. I had a phenomenal time at Methodist. You know, we were able to implement some stuff there that I thought was really cool in terms of, you know, essentially a CAT card, you know, taking a CAT card for the doctors and making it so that they could log into our systems just by tapping that card and putting in a PIN, and then that would work for them. And they could take that card to multiple hospitals, not just ours. And so it was an initiative that we did throughout the city. That was probably my greatest accomplishment there while I was at Methodist.
And you were there for how long?
I was there for 5 years.
That brings you up till
2011. Yep, 2011 is when I left, and it's through networking. It's through the ISSA that I even knew that I didn't even know, honestly, didn't even know Whataburger would have a security person. Why, you know, again, same question, why would they need a security person? And so I met the person that had the job prior to me, and he was moving on to other things, and I said, do you want my job? And I thought, sure, I have not done retail before, so sure, I'll take a stab at that. And I hadn't had any PCI experience with the credit card compliance, and so I moved over to Whataburger in 2011.
PCI stands for?
That's the payment card industry. And so if you're talking about, you know, HIPAA is a government regulation, there's certainly SOX and a lot of government regulations, and I think the retail space was much more progressive in getting in front of their regulations so that the government didn't have to. And so payment card industry, the brands, American Express and Visa and MasterCard, got together ahead of time when they started seeing these breaches being a problem, and they said, let's create our own set of regulations that we are in control of and that we will force down on anyone that accepts credit cards. And so the government didn't have their hand in it, and I think it's a much better regulation because of that.
You said the government did not have a hand in it.
They do not have any say or hand in PCI. No, it's strictly done.
So that's why it's successful. It works very well.
Because of that, you know, it's community regulation. So they have a community meeting every year for all of those for all the companies that are a member of the PCI Council, and of which Whataburger is a member. And we come together and have a meeting, and for 3 days we're strategizing on how can we make the regulation better. Does it need to be more strict? Does it need to be broader? We don't want, certainly it's not meant to put businesses out of business, especially small businesses. And so it's a community regulation, really, that makes sense. It's just baseline information security to protect the credit card data. And so
what'd you find when you got to retail that was different and that you had to adapt to and things like that?
Retail, goodness, I'm glad I served in healthcare. I have a lot more respect for anybody that's in healthcare now from the business side or from the IT side. It is so heavily regulated, and it was so difficult to move any new technologies forward in that space. Whereas move to retail, I mean, all the stores are cookie cutter. They're exactly the same. Whereas hospitals, of course, every hospital is different because it's catered to the doctors that are at that hospital and the technologies that they want to have there. And so you've got to know all those different technologies to protect them. Whereas in the retail space, every restaurant's exactly the same. The technology inside is exactly the same. All the point-of-sale systems are the same, and so protecting those is a lot easier. And we're only under one regulation, which is the PCI regulation that we have to pass.
Tell us about your transactional situation at Whataburger. It's huge, right? How many transactions?
Well, I don't know the exact number of transactions, but I know that from a credit card standpoint, you know, well over 50% of our transactions are credit card-based. So that's a lot of credit cards.
And we were talking earlier that you there's a change in the way you'll handle that credit card, which makes things a little easier and a little safer for you.
Absolutely. So some companies can batch, you know, when you swipe throughout the day, all of your transactions just go, they're stored locally. And even if they're stored encrypted, that's still a risk. They're stored locally, and then they're batched at, you know, whatever time you say in the middle of the night. That's how a lot of companies operate. So, you know, if you're watching your credit card statement online and you went somewhere and you know, wondering why it hasn't showed up yet, it's probably because that company batches their transactions. And what that means is, again, they store them all locally for that day, and then they push a button at the end of the day, and they clear out all those, they process all at the same time. A lot of companies are switching to a more instantaneous. When you swipe, it literally is cleared at the same time, so that you don't have to store that information. And it's much more safer because as soon as you swipe it, it's encrypted straight to your payment processor, Visa, MasterCard, American Express, and it's cleared from your bank immediately. And so that's a lot safer way of doing business because it's a lot harder to steal that number if it's only transmitted directly on the line.
Well, when that does happen, it also says that communicates to the credit card company your fraud is going on.
That's true. That's true. If somebody's stolen your card, it's quicker for them to be able to determine.
If suddenly your card shows up in Ethiopia or someplace like that, you used to get a card immediately. I mean, call from Visa and say,
did you make this purchase?
Did you make this transition?
And we were talking about that earlier. Absolutely. I mean, it happens. My card got stolen 2 years ago. It's going to happen. It's going to get stolen from somebody that, you know, somebody that you do business with. It just happens. But their fraud systems are much, much improved.
And I can imagine a savvy thief might know which company's batch processed. I mean, if they and you know, you could run a lot of transactions through in a day before it showed up.
Before you would know, absolutely. Yeah. Yep, they do. They have their methods of testing. They'll go to a gas station. They'll try to do a 99-cent transaction or something just to see if the card's still active and to try to figure out if they can use it for. But we're moving to something because of that PCI regulation. The council in 2015, they're going to push down on all American merchants. This has been happening in Europe for a while, the chip and PIN, right? So they take a credit card and they put an encrypted chip in it. So you have to have that chip. You have to have the card present to make the transaction. And so what that means is every single retailer has to buy a new card reader.
Ladies and gentlemen, Scott Gray is leaving the building. Scott, have a good day, sir.
So there's a chip in the credit card, is what you're saying?
Right, and so that means that every retailer has to buy new card readers for you to swipe with, because it has to be able to read that PIN to know that it's a legitimate card. And then that also means that the banks then have to send you, for your home use, right, a reader as well that you use on your laptops and your iPads and those kind of things, so that when you shop from home, same thing, they can verify that it is your card.
Interesting.
And so but that's so easy now with the square readers and other things. I mean, that reader could be so small, or it could just be integrated into your iPhone, your iPad.
I have one of those in my briefcase, square reader.
Absolutely. Yeah. And so if you have those, they're so cheap to produce. They'll ship those out to everybody. And if you're going to buy something from Amazon.com or something online, you're going to have to use one of those at your home even. Just for your protection.
So I live on Amazon.com, I'm going to have to get that figured out.
I have the square reader, though, so that I can take credit cards in my business,
right.
But you're saying at some point in time I'm going to have to run through that reader to actually buy something online.
Right. It would be a similar technology. Yeah, absolutely. You bet.
So obviously this is not supposed to be the technology show. It's supposed to be about Elliot Franklin. And so let's get over on the personal side of things. How long ago did you get married?
Got married in 2000. Made it easy for me to remember.
Oh, that's right. Well, I got married in 70, so that's got you beat by a few years there. But, and then so tell us about your bride.
I met my wife at USA, actually, when I was there. And she graduated from Texas State as well. Or I didn't graduate, but since I worked there, she graduated from Texas State. And she's her parents were military. She's military. She was born and raised here in San Antonio. So we met in 2000. And like I said, we had our first daughter in 2001. That's when we were out in Bolverde. And we decided we wanted to. She was working at the time at American Funds Capital Group out there by SeaWorld, and
another fine organization.
Absolutely. And she decided, she wanted to stay home after the first year. She wanted to stay home, and so she quit her job out there, and that's when we moved from Bolverde. So we moved out to the Shirt-Cibolo area, and that's when we. So I was on city council out there in Bolverde, had to resign off city council when we moved over to Shirt-Cibolo, and which was great for me, driving to Texas State, it was much closer. But we had a few more kids, and we had a second, we had a boy, and then we all of a sudden had twins. So we went from 2 to 4 real fast. And
But you've added 2 more since then.
We did. Then we added 2 more boys after that. So it's been awesome. We also homeschool, and so that's... We made the decision to homeschool.
Now, you're living in Shirts now?
We are, in the Shirt-Cibolo area, yep.
Okay, well, the Bolverde area is one of the strongest areas in the whole United States for homeschooling.
It is.
And so I guess you're probably tied into that network out there.
The networking opportunities are great. The co-ops and the different support organizations are phenomenal. So there's never a dull moment. There's never a field trip or a symphony trip or something that we're going
to. So that also means that you get pressed into actually being a teacher in that capacity, doesn't it?
I'm the principal, yeah.
Oh, you're the principal? Oh, okay.
I'm the principal, and I approve the lesson plans and the curriculum. But, yeah, my wife does all the teaching.
But I'm talking about one of the things that happens in the homeschooling network is that parents get together and do, I don't know, is it tag teaching or whatever it's called?
That's the co-op, absolutely. The co-op model is when you're in the co-op, you have to teach one of the classes, absolutely. So my wife helps teach, and they rotate around who's teaching what, if she's teaching English or what curriculum she's stronger in. She's a criminal justice major, and that was her major in college. And she should probably never use that, but a lot of us don't use our college degree.
That's okay. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. So you have the foundation, though. And so it's a blessing to be able to homeschool those kids and just see them grow and see what their strongholds are. You know, my two youngest sons are just into the Legos. They want to be an engineer. They are building things that I couldn't imagine. And they've got some of those Mindstorms where they make the robots and they can program those. It's phenomenal. The girls are they're taking gymnastics. In fact, that's where they're at this morning, testing for gymnastics to be on a team. So it's just great. We think it was the right decision. It gives them more. We can spend more one-on-one time with each of them. They can kind of do what they're specialized in.
So yeah, but you can also watch how they're developing and watch their strengths and weaknesses and figure out how to bridge between them.
Cater those, yeah.
Tailor things
right.
to.
Yeah, absolutely.
Excellent. That's awesome.
Yep. So it's certainly a lot of work. Don't get me wrong there. It's a lot of work with those kids, but we love it. And we love to do state parks. We love state park pass, and we love to go out and camping in all the different state parks in Texas. And that's kind of what we do at least four times a year. We have a tradition of spending Thanksgiving at a state park. We love to go out and do that. And
so they are your family's traditions as opposed to your parents' families or anything like that?
We went camping a lot when I was a kid as well. We had a trailer as well then, and we'd go out camping.
Okay, so y'all have a trailer?
We do. Yep. We have a food allergy, and so it makes it very difficult for us to eat out. And so it's plus when we would go to hotels, they would say, well, with that many kids, you have to get two rooms. And we're like, well, we can't afford that. And so we ended up buying a trailer, and it makes it much more affordable as well. But we have to cook most of our own meals because we have a food allergy. So it's made it very 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 affordable.
I can imagine it's quite a bit of gear to get six people out to six kids and two parents out to a state park.
It is. It takes quite a bit of planning. Thankfully, my wife is quite the planner. So she's very, very organized and has the charts and the Excel spreadsheets with everything we're going to bring and makes it very, very fun trip.
Well, that's so interesting because actually the traditional model like you're dealing with is in many cases a thing of the past. I take it that there's probably also a dinner time, a specific dinner time when everybody sits down at the table.
Absolutely, we absolutely have dinner, special dinner time usually 6:30 at the latest, and we sit together and talk about our day, what they learned, and then we do a family devotional at that dinner time as well. Yeah. So
excellent.
Excellent. Well, you're looking at it from a holistic family standpoint.
Right.
That you have. I take it there's probably a sports component to this and a physical fitness component. Is that
absolutely? So my sister's a personal trainer, and so she'll come over every once in a while and help them get a routine where they've got to run laps around the backyard. They've got to do this or that. So they absolutely get PE time. They love being outside. That's been something, a challenge for me, is I have to make myself go out with them. I've got to ride bikes with them. I've got to, throw the ball with them. And
well, with all of the things that you have going on, I would think that fitting all that in is probably a little bit of a challenge, but it's also probably a challenge that you love. You want to make sure that you handle that time because those kids, they want that time with Dad.
They do. It's so important that we take responsibility for that. And I've just made a commitment. I'd love to get back involved in politics. I'd love to run for a state office. But at this time, I said, nope, not until the kids are out of the house. They're going to be my first priority. I limit my volunteer opportunities to ISSA. I'm also on my homeowner's board. But that's it. And of course, I'm involved in my church. I'm the AV guy and the web guy and the podcast guy for my church. But
what church is that?
That's Redeemer Community Church. We're a church plant. We're only a year old, and we meet at the Omni Hotel on Sundays, and so we're very involved.
The Omni Hotel over on I-10,
right next to USA,
and you live in church.
It's quite the drive. Yep. Yep.
Okay.
But we just started that. So,
see, Doc, I am listening here.
It
wow,
is.
You're a multifaceted individual. I'm really glad we brought you on the Movers and Shakers program. Obviously, you're clearly one of the movers and shakers, but that's one of the most fascinating things. That we've been doing this program now for like 6 years, something like that. And it's, Bjorn and I, when we first started the program, we thought, well, we'll be able to do this maybe a couple of years max. And we got more people coming out of the woodwork today because San Antonio is so deep with so many different kinds of disciplines and so many opportunities and so many people that are interested in our future generations, and that's one really neat thing. So, have the opportunity to do any mentoring of your own? I guess I need to ask you, if you have any shout-outs you want to make now, you got another couple of minutes. So, anything you haven't said you need to say.
I can't think of any. I
say hello to your wife and your kids.
Oh yes, they're. I'm sure they're listening to Denise and the kiddos. Like I said, they're at gymnastics tryouts though today, up in New Braunfels. But no, San Antonio is a phenomenal city, and I love living here, and I don't plan to move anytime soon. But you're right. It's a great city, and there's a lot of great folks here.
Well, again, Elliot Franklin, thank you very much for taking the time here on the San Antonio Movers and Shakers program to Tell us about your life and anything, any goals that you have that out in the future, or just gonna you want to raise your kids to be good adults?
Certainly, that's the primary goal is the kids right now. But no, I want to continue serving and giving back. I want to serve in some elected offices again. I want to get involved in politics again, without a doubt, when the time is right. There's just so much wrong, you know, with the politicians right now, so I'd love to be able to give back and help with that.
Dr. Atkins, any final remarks?
No, I just want to congratulate him on always taking an opportunity to do something different and learn more and be an example for all of us doing that, as well as the devotion you have to your kids. It's inspiring.
And how do we get in touch with the Texas Sinus Center?
You can get us at TexasSinusCenter.com.
Hopefully
we don't have any security issues on our website.
No,
so
okay.
Click on there. And
John Thurman, HeartOfTexasRealty.com. Of course, this is an excellent time right now to buy real estate. And thank you very much for the opportunity to be in you folks' presence. And I like to finish the program with people remember what you say. They may remember what you do, but they'll never forget how you make them feel. We'll see you next week on the Movers and Shakers program.